on the way to the top floor. I ain't selling out though, but I'm on the way. Got a lot of real, must motivate. Hold all the moves, I'ma play and play. On the way.
Motivation for all the real ones, nigga.
On the way. On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks, cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way. On the way.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. My name is Deanna Kent, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Xavier Miller.
What up?
And today, we got a very special podcast for y'all. We're going to be having an amazing conversation with entrepreneurs and CEOs of Hank Miller's Realty Group, LaCroy Miller and Zarius Miller.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, y'all.
Thanks for joining us on the show today.
No problem.
Thank you for that.
No problem. Let's kick this off. Let's get started. How y'all week going so far?
Week is going good.
So far, so good.
Staying busy.
Of course. You already know.
Yeah, we recording. They over there still working on doing work on the side. That's true dedication right there.
That's right.
So I'm just gonna get right into it. So I know y'all been in the real estate game for a minute now. So how long y'all been in it though?
We've been in for about 3 years.
Three years.
For
3 years,
I've been in
it
for two.
Mm-hmm. For 3 years and two. So what made y'all decide to get into real estate?
It's funny you asked. We were just talking about it earlier.
So we decided to get into real estate because we actually had terrible experiences with other realtors.
Buying our first house.
Yep. So when we started our home buying process, we had two realtors. The first realtor was terrible. I'm gonna be honest with you. She was terrible. I always say this is very important. She didn't establish any rapport with us. Like, she wasn't trying to talk to us. She was just trying to basically do like a quick sale. So we didn't really have a good experience.
The vibes were way off.
Way off. So yeah. That's what made us get into real estate, because
saw the opening,
mm-hmm,
and recognized that a lot of realtors just look at military people. I was in the military for 8 years, so they look at us as just a dollar sign to someone who just young and dumb. With no knowledge, and they
could
recognize that. So
that's how y'all got started. But that's dope though, because everybody. What'd you say?
Yeah, I was like, that was the spark. You know, that I knew, okay, that's an advantage now, because I could be the person that actually show that they care.
All right, y'all found the need, and then y'all just went in and got the supply, which y'all felt was a need.
Exactly. And I was ready to get out of the military too, so that was perfect.
Exactly. And for everybody that's listening, because we ain't clarified yet, this is my brother and sister-in-law. If y'all think like, damn, they sound just alike. This is my blood brother and my sister-in-law that we.
I don't know you, man.
so I know somebody be like, man, they face right, sound just alike. But you have something? No, I forgot what I was about to say. So when you first started, like how was the process work? So for somebody that want to be a realtor, like what's the beginning steps that they got to do to become one? Because it's kind of like a big thing now. It's a lot of people becoming one to get into the real estate industry. So if somebody wants to start off and get into it, what would y'all like advice be?
First thing first is to write down your goals. Why are you doing this? Because if you're just doing it to be doing it, you ain't gonna enjoy it.
Exactly.
Especially if you're used to getting the consistent paycheck. In this industry, you already know commission based. If you're not making no moves, ain't nothing happening at all. So you gotta get your mindset right to know that you're an entrepreneur now, and that you're taking on a bigger role as far as, you know, your income. So. Mm-hmm.
Everybody think it's like easy money.
That's
what I was about to say, because I'm like, because you see realtors on social media, they just posting the picture, but yeah, they ain't showing y'all the day to day. They ain't showing you the ins and outs when they dealing with different personalities, the contracts and negotiate. They don't really show none of that. So I'm like, so everybody's just thinking it's like some fun and games. You just gonna jump in the game, make some quick money real quick. So I'm glad you said it. So yeah, people that's listening.
Also comes from everybody watching HGTV.
Yeah, that too.
They never show everything like
that. Yeah, it's just good for TV. Like
exactly.
You said.
Exactly. There you go.
Mine said first, and then, get your why. Like, why you doing what you're going to do, and get your money in order, and, you know, start building up your sphere of influence, people who you know, and just telling them what you about to start doing, and you know, you want to know everything as far as the classes.
Just like for somebody that want to get into it, like what's the first couple things they got to do? Because some people don't know.
Yeah.
The first thing they need to do is to Google the best real estate schools in their city.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or in the city or county, that would be the first thing they would do. And then the second thing they would do is sign up. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's like what I did here in Florida, there's a 63-hour pre-licensing course that I had to take.
Mm-hmm.
So you take your pre-license course. I'm pretty sure it's not, it was about $300.
Right.
So it wasn't much. But you take your pre-licensing course, and after that, you take the state exam. And that's basically how you get started in real estate.
Yeah.
Now, okay. After the state exam, that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Well, because you have to, you're basically your own, you work for yourself.
Right.
You work for everybody. So you have to find the right broker to work under.
Right. That's great. Mm-hmm.
And you have to interview brokers when you do, So it's going to take some time to interview with brokers, and you got to find the right fit.
Right.
Or the right company to go with.
And the tip is to do it before you get your license.
Exactly.
So you already be looking for brokers before you get it.
Yep.
Okay. So what should be like like what are some things that people should be looking for when they're looking for a broker?
Well, if you're a new agent, you need to look for someone that has training programs in place, that got a good culture around them, because you don't want to just go to any brokerage and they just throw you in the fire and you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, so you want to have someone who actually going to answer the phone when you have questions, and someone who's going to have, you know,
Have your back.
You just get a good vibe from them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Training is key. Right.
Yeah, and there's things that happen in real estate no one really talks about. Yeah. I have a couple of stories I can tell you.
Too many.
I appreciate y'all got a lot.
Yeah, so, but it's very important to have that person, as Aria said, to call whenever you get into some trouble, because you will be getting into some trouble. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but there's always some things.
Yeah, somebody try to sue you.
Yes.
Anything.
You don't know,
and you
need that broker.
It's right. Very important. Yeah. So, I haven't went over it yet. So for the people that don't know, because I'm pretty sure some people probably don't know, but for what is a brokerage? When y'all say brokerage.
Okay, so a brokerage is basically like he's like the owner / manager of, you know, when you're a realtor, you work for yourself, but you signed up under a brokerage. He's the head, I guess you could say, of the company, or like, right, a parent company.
Right. But it's not like y'all work for them. We work with them.
Yeah, we work with them.
Right.
But he has more, he been in the business, or she been in the business a lot longer. They should know a lot more than you. And they just like your guide, you know, along, you know, starting off.
It's just add structure for the new real estate agents, because think of it, if you get all these people getting licenses and there's so much stuff they need to learn and so many legal requirements they need to abide by, if you just send them out here without a broker,
it's gonna be crazy.
So the broker pretty much keeps stuff in check until they get to that point where they're experienced enough to go, you know, probably be a broker themselves, and you know, run things themselves at that point.
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
All right. So I know y'all mentioned that there is difficulties being a new real estate agent, and I read that most realtors or real estate agents quit after the first year. So can you describe what your first year was like, and how did you pretty much stay motivated to keep going after that?
You want to go?
My first year was crazy. I will admit that. The reason why I say that is because I didn't have a lot of, when I first started, I didn't go with the right broker. It's very important to go with the right broker, as we just spoke about. I didn't go with the right broker, and I was like super lost because I had no idea on what I needed to do. So I kept myself motivated by just doing more research on things that I didn't know about, and actually learning about real estate on my own, of course, and meeting other realtors. Mm-hmm. When I met other realtors, they actually told me a lot about things I didn't know, you know? Yeah, other realtors. They told me about a lot of things I didn't know about in real estate. So that's what really motivated me to stay in real estate.
Your first year was crazy.
I was in the military, so I was watching.
She didn't make much at all.
I made nothing
because of the broker she was with. They was like, they was real shiesty how they was moving. Like they didn't have any training. But the reason we went with them is because we thought that they did have training. They told us they did, mm-hmm. and they said they had like a mentorship program. But the program is funny because it don't make sense that they want you to sign up with an agent to show you how to get business, but y'all competing at the same time. So mm-hmm. that was
just, right.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
So how y'all realized like it wasn't the right brokers for y'all? Like what made y'all come to that? Like how did y'all know? Since y'all, it was just y'all getting into it, you know what I mean?
They were too old school.
Yeah, they were
doing things, trying to do things always, sitting in the office, waiting on somebody to call you. Basically playing defense, not offense.
Okay.
So nowadays, they ain't had no social media training. They ain't had none of that.
Yeah.
They was like real old school based, like, but they had like high end clients. So they had older clients. You remember Carl?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so them, you know, they used to calling people and saying, yo, I'm going to be meeting you at the office or whatever, but that's like an old model that don't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You gotta be on social media, and you know how it go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's why I say it's important to go to a brokerage that fits you.
Yeah.
Like I didn't go to the right brokerage my first year, and they didn't give me any guidance. They didn't tell me anything. But when I went to Coldwell, that was the second brokerage that I went to.
Yeah, first year.
And I learned so much from them.
Co-working.
Training is definitely important in real estate.
Right.
But I learned a lot from them. And the environment was much better. It was a lot more younger people. And it was just different. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, y'all. We got to take a quick break real quick. So hold on tight. We'll be right back in 1 second. What's up, everybody? So we back from break. So a quick question I have for y'all. So how was y'all first deal? How did that work? The first deal y'all did.
The first deal. Oh, that was Mr. Thomas. So that was true.
Oh wow, that was a one of a kind deal, okay? That wasn't traditional real estate, okay?
Yeah,
wow. That was a HUD home. Okay, a HUD home is basically, it's not a foreclosure, but it's like, it was up for auction. That's what it was. It's an auction property. And people go online and they bid for it. That's how you get the property. So, the person I got, we ended up winning the bid online, of course. And it took us about 4 months to close.
Yeah, cash buyer.
It was a cash buyer.
So that's why.
It took us about 4 months to close.
You better have your money saved up.
It was rough. So that was our first deal.
How much was it?
It was like maybe $115,000, maybe.
It was a long time ago.
It was like $115,000. But like I said, that's why you gotta have your money saved, because you know, if it took 4 months for that first deal to go through, and we only made $3,000.
And it took 4 months.
Yeah.
Damn.
So
that's crazy.
You ain't really made nothing. At all.
That's a month's worth of expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was And that was because it was just stuff kept getting delayed. Like, because it was like Troy said, it was an auction property. So it's just a whole different setup. And it was always some with the inspections or some with him doing something with not having enough money in the bank because he said he was going to buy cash and he had to move money to this bank or to that bank. It was just a lot of stuff going on. Mm. So, yeah, you got to have your money right before you do anything or have that, you know, situation set up. Because, like I said, it took 4 months and it was only $3,000.
Yep. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs have that struggle with trying to figure out, when do I dive in full time? And, like, especially right. if they got a job, when do I leave my, like, stable job and dive into this full time? Like, it's really, like, no perfect time. But when you do it, just make sure your money right. At least have, I would say, a good 6 months worth of expenses, like, put to the side.
Yeah. Or a year.
Yeah, a year. If you
can't
really
have a year.
Yeah, if you really can't do a year. Because you never know what's going to happen.
The market might crash as soon as you quit your job. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, you a new agent and the market crash, you don't know what's going on. Everything in shambles. And right. it's blood in the street. Nobody's trying to help nobody at that point. You know? Yeah. All the agents is trying to scrap for the little scrape they can. That's what I would think would happen. I don't know. Because I've never been through a crash. So.
Right.
Yeah, I heard it's rough. It's definitely
rough on the agent. Yeah, we talked to some guy. He said that he had 8 contracts, like, before 08 crashed. And I guess days or whatever when he crashed,
the bank
called him and said, we cannot finance none of these loans you got. So he had, like, 8 different, you know, homes from the go up, and they couldn't. They couldn't do it.
I'd be so hurt. I would be hurt.
That's like $30,000, bro.
That's so much money. Gone.
Yeah, man. Gone. And he still got bills ain't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you got to keep in mind. Not saying you got to be scared to do stuff, but just be aware.
Yeah.
And be prepared.
Would y'all advise, like, to people, like, for someone to buy a house right now, even though the market is kind of, like, high?
It depends. It depends on situation, man. Like, some people, if they, like, you, like, just depends. Like, your job set up and the price that you buying it at. Now, if you buying a house, you know, that's crazy high, I would say no. You know, I wouldn't do it.
What's high to you? What's
depends on your market.
Yeah, it depends on where you with, because high out there is cheap out here.
True.
Yeah. So out here, it could be $250 and that's high.
Exactly.
Like here. And for y'all, that's like
that's you gonna be living in a damn project.
Yeah, it's you ain't right. finding nothing.
$250, you in the gated community somewhere.
Yeah, I ain't like that out here, bro.
Here you got a condo.
$250. It's gonna be a high condo,
upgrades, mm-hmm. 1,000 square foot condo.
But stuff changing out here too, like that. Like it's stuff going up. Like
Jacksonville getting popular though.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
So I don't know, man, because we in the military state, so it's always people buying something.
Right.
You already know how it goes in the military.
Right.
Somebody gotta move. They gotta sell. They gotta rent. Something gonna happen. Like real estate, always gonna be something.
I know y'all mentioned wholesaling real quick. For the people that don't know, could y'all like explain to them what wholesaling is?
Yeah. Troy, you want to go ahead? All right. So, man, Troy over here, worry about Zion. That's up to my daughter. So wholesaling is basically finding distressed properties and getting the house for way cheaper than what it's worth.
All right.
Under contract and passing that contract on to an investor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, selling to them. Yeah, yep. So basically you're just connecting the investor to the cash or to the property.
And you don't even need any, like,
you don't need no money
certificates or nothing to be a wholesaler.
That's the difference.
Well, yeah, nope. Yep.
Nope, you don't have to be an agent for that.
Because I met somebody, this was a couple months ago, and he wholesaled the deal for, I believe, if I remember correctly, he wholesaled the deal for $60,000. And he's telling me how he had 30 days to do the deal or whatever.
Yeah.
So then he did the deal on the 29th day. And he got some guy called. And he was like, yeah, I want to buy the house. I don't want to see it. I don't need to come out there. I don't need nothing. I just want to buy it.
Yeah,
so he bought the house. And then a month later, dude bought the house for 60. and he sold it for like $140,000 30 days later. So the dude that wholesaled the deal, he was telling me like, man, I could have made way more money if I had the information and the knowledge, because dude obviously knew more. Yeah.
Now we know though.
Yeah. So like, a lot of people they be asking, they be saying like they want to get into real estate. But, you know, a lot of people think it's like it's like multiple games within the real estate game. Like you can invest into REITs. You know what I'm saying? You can wholesale. You can be an investor. You can be a realtor.
So many different.
Yeah, so many. I don't think a lot of people know that. It ain't just a one.
You can do tax deeds. You can do foreclosures. Seller financing.
Go over all those though, like tax deeds, seller financing, and all those, because I know a lot of people they don't know what that is.
It's so in depth of them, but every state is different. Far as like what you just said with tax deeds. Tax deeds is basically, I'll just go, that's cool. I'm gonna go over that one.
Yeah.
So tax deeds is basically someone not paying the taxes on their property for X amount of years. In Florida, it's 2 years. If you don't pay your taxes for 2 years, they're gonna put your back taxes on it's called a tax certificate. And me as an investor, I can buy that certificate and I can either make that home go to auction, or I could wait for a year and then get the property. So that's how that worked with that. And if the home, no one has a tax certificate, it'll go up for auction. You can just buy the house outright. So it's some house that sell for like $5,000, $1,200 at the auction.
All right.
Man.
So that's one way to get a house for cheap, but that's getting real competitive.
Yeah.
I first started looking into it, it wasn't that bad, but now it's like
everybody doing it.
Yeah, everybody on that site, and they be buying from everywhere.
Everywhere.
What about so seller financing?
It's basically rent to own.
That's what we talked about. The land contracts.
So, but when I was talking to a realtor about land contracts, and she was advising. She was like, it's probably something that I wouldn't do, because I know she know many people that have bad experience. She said she wouldn't do it as a seller. But she was
like, wouldn't do what? Rent to own? Seller financing?
Yeah, as the person that's selling the property. But she was like, if she was buying it, she was like,
that's why you gotta find somebody who desperate.
It has to be like a wholesaler.
It has to be somebody who got a sale for a reason for them to sign up for that.
Exactly.
You got to find somebody who's going to foreclosure, needs some help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I researched it, and what I was reading is that when you do the seller financing, what that means is, as the buyer, you don't get the title to that house until it's paid off. So that's the biggest risk you take, because if that contract falls through, you don't get your money back. Whatever money you already gave that seller is just gone. It's there. So that's why I was reading that it was advised against it. You probably shouldn't do seller financing, because if you're doing it, you want to own your property. You don't want to take that risk of having the seller do something to break that contract and back out and keep all your money you invested into it.
Yeah, that happens too, but it's a lot of people getting doing great with that stuff too. That seller finance. Yeah, because they just, you know, they just pay the mortgage and put somebody else in the house.
True. And if that's the house too paid off, the seller can just benefit outright.
Yeah. Some people do that. They have a renter come in there. They had the mortgage $500, they rent it out for $1,000. Like, easy. Seller finance. The seller move out, go somewhere else. Yeah, they be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's just all situational based, exactly, man. Every situation is different.
It's different than a different situation.
Every time.
So what was y'all hardest deal? Like, what was hardest, the most deal, difficult?
This one, what was difficult? It felt like, dang, difficult. Man, I gotta think on that one.
It might have been somebody might have gave y'all a hard time, or it was just like a difficult deal to work.
Man, I'm trying to think. That first one we talked about, that one was difficult.
Yeah, it was very difficult because some things happened after they closed too, in regards to like their deed. So, that was probably the most difficult one that we've had.
That first one?
Yeah.
It wasn't
the Because
yeah,
I've never did a HUD home before, and that was an option, you know?
Yeah, that was a difficult one for her. Okay. Other ones, it just be kind of like just difficult people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that. After you get them under contract and stuff, it's like, it be, you know, it got its moments, but it's not as bad. But that first deal, trust, be stressed. I just come home from work, she like, man, this shit is crazy. Like, this dude ain't doing nothing right.
So
it wasn't even really him.
We've been blessed these past 2 years, man. Like, for real, as far as like deals.
Yeah. So what was y'all best deal or easy? Like, what was the best deal? Y'all was like, man, we made nice money, and this was a good deal right here.
The best deal was when buyers have their stuff ready to go or sellers ready to go. Like, they already pre-approved. They know what they want to get, and you know, we go find the property the same day. Them be the best ones. Like, somebody who already know, and we look at 7 to 8 houses, and they already know this the one. And we put an offer in, and it's accepted.
Is that happen a lot of time? I was talking about, like, an example.
Best one would be, like, a relocation.
So he said, give him an example. Which one? Let's think of one.
We had a buyer come in from out of town, and he knew exactly what he wanted.
Oh, yeah.
He was a relocation client, and he was actually military. And he came... He is already pre-approved. He knew what he wanted. And we found him a house over that
weekend.
Yep.
So he had
already under contract.
And his house was like for $260. We got it for $250.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it took like 3 days, 3-4 days.
Mm. Yeah. So
that's quick.
I like stuff like that because they already know what they want. You know.
That was
instead of
smooth.
Riding around with buyers, you can ride around for like 3 weeks. Trying to find them houses, depending on the client. So,
yeah.
So he was ready to go.
Yeah, when they ready to go, I love that shit.
Yeah, even with sellers, like, they know what they want. They know exactly what they want. They want to sell right away.
I can't say. See, cause y'all gonna share it, man. Some people,
You ain't gotta say no names or nothing.
Bad situations, man.
Damn.
All right, it'd be like certain situations with like. Okay, some people, and you gonna see this because you in real estate school. You gonna work with a seller, and it's always your fault. Like, no matter what happens, you could go in that house and tell them, "Yo, your house is worth this much," and they say, "No, I want this much." And you telling them like, "No, you can only get this much," and they like, "No, I'm not." You gonna go with it because if you don't, you just ain't gonna have. You know, mm-hmm. She's gonna be all right, whatever. And they don't get what they said, even though you told them, and they blame it on you, give you bad reviews, putting your name on the street bad. That's some people do it.
And that's why some realtors don't take people like that.
Yeah.
Because they don't want that. They know that it's always going to be something. It's always going to be your fault.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's best to not take
certain lists.
No, yeah. But
it's hard not
to.
It's hard not to. It's my... I mean, it ain't about the money, but you wanna give service, you wanna prove them wrong too.
Yeah.
And you wanna get your name in these neighborhoods, and you wanna show people you working your ass off at the same time. And you would think that maybe it would change. Like, they gonna eventually come to the light and say, okay, I'm not getting them much. But he's working his ass off to get my house over. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But in that instance, no. Yeah. They were mad as him.
Yeah, they're upset.
And we told them, but that happened several times too, man.
I mean, yeah, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And I know we ain't go over this yet, but as far as like the pay, like how does the pay work? Like how does the realtor get paid? And like what is it based on? And like, you know,
pay based on the sales price of the house. So if the house 250, how it works in Florida is usually gonna be in between 2-3% of $250,000, for instance.
Usually three. Standard is 3.
But that's what we go for, 3.
3%.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, it's people get 4. Right?
I haven't heard.
We haven't got it, but we know somebody that Josh, he got 4.
She's like, I don't know about all
that. That happens. Some people do it, man. Like, for real, they pay you more.
Is it ever an instance where, as a realtor, you could get like 10% on a deal?
Hell no.
Yeah.
That must be your wife.
No, I'm just asking. No, I'm saying who's basing their percentage though?
The seller is.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's
so the seller basically is like they pay for it, you know. So the seller, you always go to the seller, and the seller will tell you like, okay, how much do you the seller will ask you how much you want to charge.
Right. And, the standard is 6%.
So how it works is that you split it in half. You give the buyer 3%, the buyer's agent 3%, and then the seller gives the listing agent 3%. Right. That's how it usually goes. But sometimes, you know, some people negotiate and go a little bit lower.
Yeah, but the standard is basically 6, like Troy Moore said.
Yeah, the seller just basically, you know.
Okay. And the seller pays both sides. The seller pays the listing agent and the buyer needs.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just to clarify on that, so the seller's gonna pay y'all, but there are commission splits, which are brokerage, when it's time to get paid, right?
Yes, it depends on the
brokerage. It depends on the brokerage too, because that's changing too.
Our brokerage
is different.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we worked ourselves up to a position, so, yeah. Some brokerages like 70-30, some people 50-50.
Shoot, that's a lot, 50-50.
They try to do that for the new agents. A lot of times they try to be like, well, since you know, you're going to do 50-50, right?
Yeah, when I started off, I was 45.
Yeah, see?
Damn.
I know.
Like, gotta work your way up.
Is there a number of sales you gotta get before your commission goes up?
It depends on the brokerage.
Somebody said 2 million gross sales. So it'll go up in increments. Like you hit 500,000, it'll go up to 60%. You as far as like gross sales. Mm-hmm. You hit a million, you're gonna go up another 15%.
Right.
You know, 2 million, you're gonna be maxed out to 95%.
Right.
Okay.
And start over.
Yeah.
Right, that's what's up. So, what else?
So you ready? You excited about your transition?
I'm excited. I'm still studying. I pushed my test back to March 14th, so that's gonna be my official test day. I feel like I'm a good test taker, so we'll see how it goes. I feel like I can guess my way into a passing score.
Yeah, you said you're going to guess okay.
But I feel like I'm good at interpreting information. Yeah. So I feel like if I read the question enough, I can kind of pinpoint it out.
Answer.
Yeah. Yes.
So you've been looking at your brokerages and stuff already?
Yeah, I've been looking at brokerages, and I've been getting a lot of letters in the mail from the bigger companies. So. Yeah. All right, here we go. Now I gotta pick a brokerage.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm Selena. I wanna actually take the test first before I start, like, cause I'm not in a rush. So I'm gonna take the test and then after that start scoping out brokerages and settle down probably by April. All right,
that's what's up.
You better get those interview questions ready.
I already got them.
They're cloud brokerages now too, so stuff changing, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you all heard of EXP.
What's that?
They're awesome.
It's basically like cutting out all the, you know.
If they don't have a brokerage like a brick and mortar, I guess.
Yeah, they don't have a brick and mortar brokerage.
It's online.
Yeah.
I've been seeing those ads brokerage. For that.
Oh, that's tight.
And they commission is way better.
Yeah.
Then, like Troy said, brick and mortar, because they got less overhead. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do y'all think about? Because you know, there's a lot of sites coming out now, and they're trying to pretty much cut out like realtors. So it's like, is that scary or is it? How do y'all feel about that?
I'm not really worried about it.
Not
but
yet.
But it's funny that you mentioned that because a couple of them called me today.
Oh,
and I'm like, no, I'm not joining. I'm good on that.
So. It's going to change eventually. It's going to happen over time. But I think, like, being at the National Realtors Association, they're, like, super big. You know, the lobbyists. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to just let it happen. Like, we just going to let it. Because they make so much money off us realtors. If Zillow and all, you know, those companies, they cut everybody off. It's probably somebody going to die. I don't think because they make so much money off of us. Yeah, because they make money, like the Realtors Association make money off of the realtors. Like the fees be like crazy, right? For like $2,000 a year.
For MLS fees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they off every agent.
Yeah.
So think about
that. They ain't gonna let that happen.
They ain't just gonna let all that money go unless some, you know. And they be lobbying. They got lobbyists in D.C. and high places. So I don't think they're just going to let Zillow and these other sites go too crazy yet. Mm-hmm. Until they figure out how they're going to get their money off of that, too.
Zillow working on it.
They working on it for real.
Now you go.
Man, I was saying, they be charging a lot, too.
Yeah, they're going up on
that. Zillow be charging, man.
Zillow killing it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Amazon of real estate.
They trying to be.
Right. So, but when you own your own brokerage, like, what's the benefits to that?
As far as you don't have to, it's pros and cons. To me, pros is that you don't have to give any outside money to another broker.
But then you gotta build your name up, though.
Yeah.
You gotta build your company up. Cause you competing with Keller Williams and all them.
You competing with all them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's like you kind of get your name out there. Anyway. Yeah, as an agent, you get your name out there.
Yeah, you competing with them now anyway. Feel? Because even as a single agent, you building your own brand. I look at it like I'm not competing with other agents. I'm competing with companies. That's how I think. You know, already.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how I should.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about what nobody else really doing. And they're like, I'm trying to take that. No, I ain't really worried about that. That's that lack mindset anyway. Trying to take from other people and being negative about it. I mean, it's enough right for everybody. Especially if you're talented, you're going to get business.
One thing, another thing that you all, well, people that want to become realtors, you're going to realize that some people just do not care about what time they hit you up.
Somebody hit Troy right now.
It could be midnight and they would be calling you, talking about houses. Early in the morning, they'll call you. 8 o'clock in the morning, they'll call you and say, hey, I want to see some houses early in the morning. So.
Somebody hit you right now?
Yes.
I know a realtor I was working with, she was like, yeah, my phone go off at 10 o'clock, so I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, some people do that. They just say, you know what, I'm turning my phone off at 9. But I guess that's one way I try to stand out from other realtors, too.
We're being available.
My phone always on. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 1 a.m.
You're being available.
Yeah, you gotta be. They take certain people for granted, man. Like, don't call me out there. Man, you crazy? Like, you run a business, bro.
Right, they just gonna call somebody else.
Right.
Because whenever I call a realtor and they don't pick up, I call the next person. I call. Exactly.
Walmart number, I mean, them toll free numbers ain't off, they own.
Yeah.
And you got an issue with Verizon or the bank, somebody gonna answer that phone. Yeah. If you got a good bank.
Yeah, that's facts. And I know a lot of realtors, like when we be looking for properties, a lot of realtors that I be talking to, they be like, I don't want to say they be like ghetto, but they be like, they just be talking. They just pick up the phone and start talking and just doing stuff in the background. Like,
one realtor.
No.
Some, yeah, true.
Some people just don't, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like.
They screaming kids in the background. They ain't ready.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell going on? Like, bro, I'm trying to do something.
You still
like,
gotta be professional.
Yeah, you do. Especially on that initial phone call. I mean, dang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who you talking
then
to?
Then a lot of them, it seemed like you could do really good in that industry. I mean, being a realtor, if you're really not lazy or you're not. Not, and I don't mean just physical. I mean, like, intellectually lazy. Because I talk to a lot of realtors, and they be like, they don't feel like doing nothing right now. And they be like, yeah, I'm just going to, it's another realtor that you could contact. And I'll be like, what?
Hey, I'm glad you said that. Hey, tell him, man, you know what? We're talking stay blessed, man.
I just get another person number, and I deal with somebody else. But I'm like,
you want somebody home?
Yeah, I don't be understanding a lot of these.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, girl, what what's going on?
Hey, and you know what? D, you gonna love it. That's an opportunity for you and Zay.
Yep.
For y'all.
So I'm like, shoot, I'm at home. I got a lot of time.
I don't want everybody hungry. Y'all need some lazy. That'd be messed up if everybody was hungry. I ain't trying to motivate their ass either.
Mm-hmm. People will be out here getting hurt.
Yeah, I don't need all y'all being LeBron out here.
No, I'm sure. That's what
it is. High school basketball coaches and all that. All y'all.
That's what it be seeming like from my experiences. I'm like, man, a lot of these people don't seem like they really own it like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? Them the people that money move them too. They ain't really in it for a lover. They want somebody who want to call them for big deals. Then some realtors don't answer. They like, if it ain't over X amount, I'm not answering this phone.
Yeah,
some of them do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, they do that, but I mean, I don't care if you want to buy a tent. You know, I'm gonna help you. If that's what you want. You know,
yeah.
It's relationship building, man. At the end of the day, that's what
this about. Yeah,
yeah,
that's facts. Yeah, that's
like if you buy a tent and it costs $100, that's what you want. All right, I'll help you. I'll negotiate it for you too. Like, I just want you to be happy, man. I don't care.
Right.
Now, I ain't gonna do this for 3 months straight with this tent.
Right.
But we could work on it for a couple of days and see what happens.
Right.
You know? But not no 4 months. You ain't even driving me around for no $200 deal, man. You tripping.
He says,
I got kids to feed. Nah, for real.
Yeah.
They're trying to get you.
How you doing that, man? We had one dude, man. I swear he had us driving around for like.
Afterwards.
Like, yeah. No, I'm talking about Dane Dash. Dude, like Dane Dash.
Oh, my God.
Dude had us from New York, man. This dude was talking cash, man. He had us driving around for like on and off like a good a month.
Damn. I have to drop a little gem real quick. This is why listings.
Oh yeah, listings. That is a gem. That's a gem.
Please take notes. Please.
Now leave it.
I can recommend like a really good book that can tell you about how to get listings. Mm-hmm. Was it the millionaire book?
The Millionaire Real Estate Agent.
Yeah, the Millionaire Real Estate Agent can tell you about how to get listings. That's an awesome book.
By Gary Keller. He owns Keller Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But basically, getting listings is the name of the game for real.
It really is.
For anybody who wants to be a real estate agent.
Yes. Go after the listings.
Because the listings, you can get buyers off of a listing. Because mm-hmm. you're doing open houses, it's your listing. So you can do open houses every week. You can make flyers. That give you the opening into that neighborhood.
Right.
When you get that listing.
Because
now your name is in the neighborhood. Now you got a reason to knock on all the doors in that neighborhood. Pass flyers on every door. You know what I'm saying? You post your name. Yeah, you marketing, basically.
Do or not. Yep.
So
it's important that they get that.
A lot of people, man, they try to get every listing, they try to get a buyer. So.
Open houses.
To get a listing and a buyer off everyone. That's a lot of goal for a lot of people.
This is something else I just thought of. So, I know what a lot of people when they are looking for this is from a buyer standpoint, when they looking for like properties to invest in, they just go to Zillow or they'll go on what's the other one called?
Realtor.com,
Trulia. I'm sure y'all already know, as being realtors, y'all know the real gems is like on the MLS and stuff. So,
as far as the comps and stuff.
Yeah.
But Zillow getting good with that too, though.
Zillow
give a lot of info.
But just for the people that's listening, explain the difference. Like, why is the MLS will be better? Yeah.
Well, usually the data is more up to date in MLS.
Right.
Sometimes Zillow have stuff like it will include in their they got the Zestimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes that Zestimate be having homes like that either don't really even compare to the property. So when you go on MLS, you can break it down for yourself. Like, you can break it down specifically to what you're looking for. And they give you all the specs on the homes. And it's just the way the report generation, it shows you exactly what you should be selling the house for.
Exactly.
Some more detailed report. That Zestimate, they ain't really going too in depth like MLS.
It's just really a guess.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really a guess.
Yeah. Alright, see.
But Zillow getting better though, from what I've been seeing. As far as that.
Yeah, I've heard it's getting a lot better too.
Yeah, I mean, what I saw, it was close to the last house we just did. It was close. So.
Right. Okay. That's dope. Because. I'll be talking to people a lot, and they always be talking about they on Zillow and stuff. I'm like, man, you probably ain't gonna really find no gems for real on Zillow. You might, cause I found some a couple times, but
yeah, you will find some on them.
Yeah,
it's a good starting point.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
We talking about real estate, but I was gonna ask, like, so in y'all opinion, do y'all think a house is an asset?
Is a house an asset?
Yeah.
It could be. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not. Some people buy too high. They don't have no equity. If you got equity and stuff, yeah, it's an asset. Because you can turn that into cash or...
Yep.
I be hearing people say, like, it ain't an asset to when you buy a house. But, I mean, if you buy smart, it is an asset.
Yeah, it's all on how you do it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people...
Hey, yeah. One of our clients, they
getting
$55,000 back. They had it, what,
2012?
Yeah.
They bought in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and they're selling their house now. They're getting
$55,000 back. Probably.
That's good.
But, you know, a lot of people, when they get into, I think when most people buy it, it's not an asset for them, because, you know, most people ain't got the money anyway. So when they putting 10-20% down, they using all their money they got. So then they be putting all the money they got to get the house. Yeah. And then, you know what I'm saying, they ain't got no money. Then they gotta make the payment every single month. And then they can't use their money to create more money because now they got the mortgage now.
And then they end up refinancing.
Yeah, that's the killer right there.
And then that's what you kill all your equity.
That kill.
You know?
See, yeah, I'm glad y'all said this. So why you say refinancing is the killer? Because
you basically taking all your equity out, mm-hmm. and they giving it to you back in the loan and raising your loan amount.
Your interest rates just go down, but you're cashing out, but it's going back into you. You gotta pay that money back. Yep, you do. So, dang. So you have no equity. So say you're selling your house, right? You want to sell your house, you're not going to get anything back. Yeah, so if you refinance, you can't sell for at least another seven. It's like restarting. Yeah, and people just do it all just to get a cheaper mortgage payment. Yeah, and they do it because they want to buy. They don't even
do nothing with the money. Some people just buy cars, you know, buy depreciating assets. They refinance the money out and buy liabilities instead of assets. That's the trap right there. But you can make money if you refinance, you smart, you know, refinance, flip it or something, do something with it, try to figure out how to make money with it instead of because I get you, they be like, you want to put new floors in your house, you want to make it, get a new roof.
Renovate their house.
You want to get some more, you know.
They renovate and then they put it on the market.
They put all this money in this house and then it ain't even work. It's overvalued now. Now it's right. Too much money for the area you in.
Exactly.
Like, hell no.
Dang. Yeah, that's what I see. Like most people do. They get like a, especially out since I've been out here. People get like a $350,000-$400,000 house. They save up all this money so they can put 20% down. Then they put all the money down they save. Then the mortgage payment be high. Then they be tripping on the mortgage. Then they refinance it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
you don't have to do the 20% no more. I don't know why people be doing that.
People definitely be doing it.
They have some down payment programs that will help.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it anymore.
People do be putting that 20. I'll be thinking, yeah. Like, you ain't got it. But some people got it like that, too. You know, some people have money saved up.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. Some people don't, but like you said, they put their whole savings on it.
Yeah, that's what I see most of the people, that's what I see them do. They'll put their whole savings down. They strictly save it up to buy the house. Cause that's what people be telling them. They like whole fucking life, so they be
advice.
So they save up about 40-50,000. I know somebody that say he saved up $80,000, and he bought a house. He put the $80,000 as a down payment. And I'm like, dude. So I mean, he used all the money he had. So I'm like, now you ain't got no. You back to ground zero. I mean, you got a house, but I mean, like, what if your house? What if like a crash happened now? You ain't got no money.
It's not even worth it.
That's too much of a risk.
Increase your monthly payments instead of pulling down a huge down payment.
That's why I don't really be understanding the people. But that's what it seems like. That's what most people do when they buy a house for real.
A lot of people don't do that. Well, we have worked with a lot of clients that do. A lot of people get the FHA program.
The FHA, yeah.
Yeah, their down payment's like 3.5. A lot of clients I work with, some clients use conventional. Which is that 10% you was talking about. Mm-hmm. But shit, conventional went down too for some lenders. It's like 5% now, right? Depends on the lender.
That's so they're saying they have different programs.
Yeah, there are options out there. But some people just want to put that 20. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think that's just because being ingrained in people.
So some people just want to, like.
That's because people be, yeah, people be, they've been hearing all their life. That's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Brag and be like, yeah, put 20% down on it.
Because I know somebody else. Like, I know two different people with two different stories. I know somebody, he was in his house. He owned it, whatever. He sold it, and he got $100,000. Because it was worth $100,000 more from what he bought it. So he got $100,000. So him and his,
took that money, put another house.
Now they went to an apartment. Him and his girl moved to the apartment. Him and his girl and his daughter moved into an apartment. So I'm like, oh, that's a smart move. You get to keep that honey. He's like, yeah, that's the plan. So then a couple weeks later, I see him, and he's like, yeah, we just bought a house. My girl saying we couldn't do it. She couldn't do the apartment life. So we used all the whole $100,000 and put it in the house. He was like, nah, I'm back broke now. I'm like, what the fuck, like, dude. Why did, dude, just suck it. Just stay in the apartment, bro. You got $100,000. You shouldn't be. That shouldn't make
rent a house.
That shouldn't make you feel comfortable. Wow. Like, all right, I got $100,000.
Huh?
Some
people don't stand up for what they believe in.
No, they don't. Then the other person I know is a female. She made $100,000 as well. It's the exact same amount of money.
But she did the same thing.
And she took it, and she went. Put it all in another house. And she used like $10,000 of it for furniture. And then she used the rest, like, to put it in another house. And then she was saying the same thing, like, oh, I'm broke now. I just got this house. I'm like, what? Dude.
A lot of people say.
You had $100,000, bro. Cause she was telling me, like, oh my, dude, it was in my account. I never had so much money in my life. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you just fucking gave it away. Like, what the, she was like, I couldn't believe I had that much money. I'm like, yo, you could have just rented, stayed in an apartment for a couple years.
That's the society you live in too, man. Like you said, they teach you that your whole life. That's what you need to do.
Buy a house. People don't feel like they don't feel accomplished.
Yeah. You don't have to own a house to feel like you did something with your life.
No, you don't.
Ain't nothing wrong with renting, man.
No, it's not. It's just
every situation is different, man. Don't feel like some people feel embarrassed to say they rent.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. A lot of people say that they be like they be feeling embarrassed to say that as a grown female or male, they feel like embarrassed for like, yeah, I'm renting a house, and people like try to dog them out. Dude, you renting? I'm like, what the fuck is the problem?
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. It's just like I said, it's all situational based. If you can buy and if it makes sense, do it.
Especially if you're doing other stuff with your money.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you own, like, several properties, but you just rent the spot you live in. Because you might move around often or something. Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing wrong with that. But, I don't know. People be weird when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, just don't let, like, conventional wisdom make you do things, in my opinion.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because you were told that don't mean that it's right.
Right.
And you gotta do it. Do it based on the, you know, your situation. If it's smart to buy a house and you know it's gonna be worth something and you comfortable with the payments, do it. And the good thing about the VA, like, yo, we ain't gotta put down no down payment.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put down
let's
nothing.
Talk about this, though.
What's up?
You don't put down a down payment because
it's
going towards your funding fee. You know,
right. Mm-hmm. It's a funding fee from VA.
Your down payment is your funding fee.
Yeah,
it's just added on to
the loan.
But you ain't got to put it out to your own pocket right now.
Right.
Nope. Still, but it's added to your loan.
Yeah.
So I would rather put down the down payment.
Then you really
got it. Some people ain't got it.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people ain't even got it. Most people ain't got it.
And you know,
right, most people ain't got $1,000.
Yeah, so.
And that's the same for down payment assistance programs, too.
Yeah, stay for that, thing. Too. Yeah.
You don't have to put down any
money. And that's why, because they know people ain't got it saved. So they're like, okay, which is smart. How much is included in your loan package?
Yeah.
So y'all think, in y'all opinion,
are the down payment assistance programs, are they good for the buyer? Excuse me.
Yeah, they're good.
Okay. They have some great ones, man, actually.
It's important to like, you know, as a real estate agent to network with lenders because they can tell you about the different programs that, you know, you can offer to your buyers.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I would say whenever you get into real estate, always network with different lenders. Always.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I meant to ask this earlier and I forgot about it. But you saying how you need a lender on your team, it brought it back up. So, as a realtor, like, who are the key people that's needed for you, like, for a strong team?
For a strong team, mm-hmm. I would say lenders, inspectors, appraisers.
Yep.
You need contractors.
Okay. Yep. And could y'all go, do y'all mind going over the roles of each of those?
Each of those job titles?
Yeah. Like the lenders, contractors, inspectors. Just for the people that don't know.
Well, for inspectors, well, I would say, I'm not going to just say inspectors. I would say home inspectors, because there's a lot of inspectors out there.
Yeah, different types of home inspectors.
Home inspectors, they come out and they inspect the whole house. And that's basically what they do. They just inspect the whole house.
You want from the investor standpoint too, right? That's what you're speaking about.
Just period. It don't matter.
You're talking about
home inspectors, they come out and inspect the whole house.
Yep.
They let you know what's going on with the roof, what's going on with the AC, anything inside the house that you need to know before you purchase the house, they will let you know about.
Yep.
And as far as appraisers, I can go into detail about appraisers, but I'm just going to sum it up. They just tell you the value of your home.
Right.
That's basically it. And in regards to contractors, they can go in the house and tell you what's going on with the house.
More in depth than the inspectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The inspectors just do like a general inspection. Mm-hmm. The contractors, the ones that's like, you know, they can build the house.
Right.
They know, you know, if the inspector said that the roof is messed up, the contractor can really know, okay, this is exactly what's wrong with it. This is how much it's going to cost. Yeah. The inspectors kind of just be like, oh, I see a leak.
A leak in the roof, yeah. And they'll refer you to a roof inspector.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
A roof inspector or a general contractor.
Right. Because they know how to build a house from scratch.
Yep.
They supposed to.
Mm, so those the key pieces that you need.
Lenders,
contractors, appraisers, and inspectors.
But really, you ain't gonna have an appraiser on your team though.
Right.
You can. Yes, you can.
You can. Yeah, I'm saying for an investor, you will.
I'm gonna tell you why. Yes, I'm gonna tell you why. Mm. Remember that time when I'm not gonna say her name, but her house did not appraise.
Her
house did not appraise.
Right.
And we needed an appraiser on our team so we can
fight that.
So it's good to have an appraiser on your team. Because say if you have a listing and the house is not appraised, and you have to, it's a whole process that you have to go through when it doesn't appraise. And it's good to have an outside appraiser that's not in the, you know, in the transaction, explain what's going on to you.
Right.
About, you know, this appraiser or what has happened. So
yeah.
It's just good to have that connection so you can know a little bit more about what's going on in the appraiser world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a whole nother world.
Yes.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. Because I know from just from the inspector aspect, when we was looking at one property, we was about to buy another property that we had an inspector go see. And he went to go see it, and luckily for us, he was a good inspector, because it was like some real fucked up shit in the seller's basement, and he like called us immediately, and he was like, nah, because he know we wasn't able to there to see it physically, because it was in Detroit. He was like, nah, I wouldn't do this. He was like, I can't even take the smell, and blah 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 going on, and he gave us our money back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a lot of experience in the real estate field, and mm-hmm. he actually taught me a lot with our first property. He stayed on the phone with me for about 30 minutes, just going over a bunch of different stuff. And that's what I've started to come across, like, just from calling so many people. Like, if you just tell them your situation, like, hey, you know, of course there's people out there that, like, try and take advantage, but there's a lot of people out there that genuinely want to help, too. And they will sit there and break a lot. They will tell you so much stuff you can't just find on the internet. They'll give you a lot of valuable information when you just, you know, don't be afraid. Just get on the phone and just start calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? That's another thing I was going to mention. I forgot to say, it's good to have a property management person on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So as a realtor?
Yes, as a realtor. Yeah.
So you can refer the seller, refer the buyer to somebody? I mean, the seller. But what,
investors.
Yeah.
Property management, I would say investors. property management inspectors, and it can be a variety of inspectors, roof inspectors, mold inspectors, home inspectors, mm-hmm. like any type of inspector.
Anybody involved in real estate,
exactly.
you need to know somebody.
You do need to know somebody. And I would always say, even realtors, I tell realtors to get out and go to, we have this thing called Jack's RIA.
Jack's RIA?
It's just like a real estate investment group.
Yeah, it's good to get out and go to real estate investment groups so you can network with other people and add them to your team in case a situation comes up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like going to meetups and stuff, meeting people who are doing, you know, what you're trying to do. So that's what Jack's RIA is. It's just basically a bunch of investors
and
meeting.
I can't forget this one, title companies.
Oh, yeah,
title. You gotta have title companies on deck.
Now, why is that?
Because you just need to know. Okay, say if you're dealing with a lot of listings and sellers, you want to know where to go. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a good attorney, you know, whenever mm-hmm. something comes up in paperwork.
So the title company, they're going to run, you know.
They run, you know.
The records as far as if it's back taxes, owed. Like, it just depends on what you're doing. If you're an investor, you need investment-friendly title companies.
Okay.
But there are different types of title companies. There are title companies who rather work residential. There are some who specialize in investors. Mm-hmm. So you want to find out which one in whatever area you're in friendly towards investors.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you close, you have different sellers on different sides of town. Like Jacksonville is huge.
Yeah.
We have a northwest, well, every that, but Jacksonville is just huge.
Yeah.
So whenever you have sellers on a certain side of town, it's good to have title companies that are on different sides of town that's close to them. Like I'll give you an example. I have a listing in Bryceville. Bryceville is like the outskirts of Jacksonville. It's good to have a title company in Bryceville, you know, or nearby, so you can close there. So it's good to have a different, you know, a lot of title
wide companies. Range.
Yeah, wide range of people on your team.
Yep.
So, title companies is a good one. And property management, of course, inspectors, appraisers, pretty much everything.
A coach. If you can have one,
get one.
Get one.
Invest in a coach.
Yep. Or some mentors,
Coach or mentor. Especially if you're a newer agent.
Preferably not in your market.
Yep.
I'm gonna play like devil's advocate. So if I was just to be like, man, I don't want to pay money for somebody to to give me information that I could just find out on my own. What would y'all say to that?
I mean, you don't know everything though. They may know some stuff that you don't know.
Yeah.
So why not?
Especially
if they're like a top coach,
or even like this. Success is a formula. Mm-hmm. If you knew to something, you might as well copy somebody else who already know the game.
Exactly.
Instead of you doing all the trial and error and you fucking up.
And you get to avoid the mistakes.
Yeah, they made all the mistakes for you. That's the benefit of having a coach. They already did all, like Troy was saying, with her first year, all the mistakes she made. She had a coach. We would have hit the ground running because we would have known not to do this, not to do that, instead of having agents in our market lie to us and sending us off.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the benefits of a coach.
Yeah.
If you don't have no idea, you better find a coach, or you better be an excellent reader and studier.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know what you're looking up.
Because when we got our coach, I'm telling you, the second year was like an awesome year. The third year was amazing.
Really?
So that coach definitely helped us.
Yeah, that's a lot of them out there.
It is.
You will know what's a good one when you see it.
It is.
How did y'all go about finding a coach?
Well, we found our coach watching YouTube videos, finding somebody who was giving information that was great. And that's how I found one of them. I got coaches that don't even know I'm their student because I watched a lot of their shit. You know what I'm saying? So I got mentors who I never met, but they got so much content out here that they basically are my coach too. You know? And I got people we pay.
Right, to coach. So, and that's probably like, a lot of people, they don't realize that's probably like the best way, or probably the easiest, just to, even though some people might be like, I don't want to pay somebody, but Yeah. You get to avoid the mistakes, like you already said. You know what I'm saying? You get the blueprint. They let you know what to avoid. And you, the money you paying them, you probably going to make quadruple that if you just follow what they're saying. Yeah, so it's not even
doing what they're saying.
Exactly. So it's not even going to matter.
But what's crazy is my coach, our coach is millionaire. He make like $200,000 a month.
We actually have two coaches.
Yeah, but he got coaches.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Right. If he got a coach, he's making $200,000 whatever a month. I need to have a coach.
Exactly. You always think gonna need a like a mentor.
Yeah. You always need one. Everybody, basketball players got one. They got coaches.
Yep. You always gonna need a mentor. Yeah, I'm glad I'm saying it. Cause some I know people that be not scared to pay somebody to get a mentor, but it's like tough. Yeah, they don't be wanting to pay for it. And I'm like, yo, if it's somebody.
Because real talk, some of the information you already know, like...
Yeah.
You're just like, damn, I knew that. I just ain't doing it. And they showing you how to do it the proper way. Exactly. A lot of information you gonna know, like, you know. Like, some of the information our coach tell us, we already knew. It's just like, damn, we should have been doing that. Or, like, mm-hmm. they just keeping you accountable. Like, yo, you need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need that.
Yeah, sometimes you need it, like... Being that we married, we do that for each other, but sometimes
it's
good to get that third party.
Yep.
Mm, yep. Just
say what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like sometimes I'm not listening to Troy, but then the coach would be saying, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. We should have been doing that. That'll happen several times. Mm-hmm. Because it's your spouse. You be thinking, being hard headed, like, no, I don't want to do it. Then the coach's like, no, y'all need to do this because. It helped my business grow, and I'm looking at him like, damn, he where I want to be. So, damn, I do need to do this. She was right.
Oh, you were right.
Vice versa. It happens.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's how I see it. You get to avoid the mistake, the blueprint already.
Yeah.
Why not?
And damn, they've been through market crashes. A lot of them.
Yeah.
They've been through the 08. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, lenders. It's lenders that been through it. You know what I'm saying? And it's good people to know, so you'll know how to maneuver.
And they can...
And they give you, like...
Tips
and, like, motivation. Like, yo, you'll be all right. Just do this, do that. This happens all the time. Like,
right.
It happens.
Yep.
So, that's a good thing to have for coaches.
Yep. Wait. Coach, mentor, whatever.
If you can't afford one now, just watch YouTube.
Yeah,
right, you're watching
do something.
But there's a lot of people on Instagram that are doing, you know, stuff. You can always reach out to them and talk to them and see what they're doing.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's facts.
And if somebody give you some game and you make some money, man, break them off. Just off of, you know, showing
off.
Account, you know, just showing respect.
If you just been watching them from afar.
No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about somebody you actually talking to on the phone.
And information
that you could use. And I'm just speaking for because it happened with me before. I ain't expecting nothing, but just show love because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's good business.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Even if it ain't got to be much, just show your appreciation.
That's true. Yeah, it's a lot of people that you can reach out to on social media. I know a lot of people be scared to DM somebody, but worst case scenario is them not responding. Okay, so what? And so next person,
like fear of rejection. People can't handle
that. Yeah, they can't. But that's just something you gotta get over, especially if you're gonna be in the business world. Because I reach out to people all the time. A lot of times they respond. Some people don't. And I don't take it personal or nothing. I'm just like, oh, okay. So I mean, people got lives. Some people busy.
Yeah,
so it's not a big deal to me.
Yeah,
I'm putting
thought into it for real.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm super glad we had y'all on because I feel like y'all gave a lot of gems that people will listen to. That because the real estate industry is like everybody want to get into it right now, really. So
yeah,
it's a lot of people that's gonna listen. A lot of people listen to the show and they gonna be able to definitely take something away from all the stuff that y'all are saying.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
I'm glad they can, man. That's good.
Thank you for bringing
us. And they can reach out to us.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I was just about to say that. So, for everybody that's listening, Where can they find y'all at? What's y'all social medias? And if they want to hit y'all up and ask y'all questions or anything, if they want y'all to mentor them or something like that, you know what I mean? So yeah. What's y'all info?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Latroy and Miller. And you can find Zarius on Instagram at the Hanks Miller Group.
No.
Yeah, he's he just got his IG.
Yeah.
I ain't really on that though like that, so I'm building mine up. So if you really want to hit me up.
Does that mean you building it up, so you might as well give it out right now.
Right, at the Hanks Miller Group.
Yeah, that's
It's HMG.
It's HMG Realty, right?
No, it's at the Hanks Miller Group.
Shit, I don't know what it is. See, that's how you know I'm building it up. I'm sorry, y'all. But look, on Facebook, too.
Yeah, you can hit him up
as
Darius Miller.
Can
hit me up at Latroy Miller.
Y'all gotta spell it. Names ain't the most common.
Oh yeah, my fault. Okay.
Your name is Troy Miller on Facebook. TROI
Miller.
Yeah. And mine is King Xerxes.
Oh my god.
No, my name is Darius Miller. XERYUS Miller.
Yep.
On Facebook
and on Instagram, you can. It is Letroi N Miller. That's my Instagram username.
Hit me up anytime, man.
Anytime, yeah, appreciate that, man. And everybody listening, just in case y'all don't know our Instagram, mine is Xavier C Miller. Facebook Xavier Miller, Twitter Xavier C Miller, the same.
And my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is Deanna Kent. Twitter is Deanna S. Kent. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the Millionaire Mindset's daily text subscription. You could do so by texting at M Mindsets. That's M, then Mindsets. Don't forget the add sign to 81010. Again, that's 81010 to receive our daily inspirational text messages.
That's pretty.
You gotta get that.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And y'all had anything else y'all wanted to say before we wrap it up?
Nah, man. Just thank y'all for having us on.
Yeah.
For all the hustlers out there, do what you gotta do. Whatever industry it's in, real estate, whatever it may be, just go hard every day.
Yes, especially if you're in sales.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's facts. So that's pretty much it. Thanks for everybody listening. See y'all next episode. Peace.
Peace.
On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take a risk cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way.
A whole lot of shit on the way.
On the way.